The message that I wanted to preach to you this morning is a message about characteristics, about four specific characteristics concerning believers that are on task. You know, we are supposed to be believers on task. And what I mean by that is we've been given a job. We've been given responsibilities. We've been given things that we need to do. I believe that the Holy Spirit led me to precede this with getting ourselves right first. Because we got to get right first before we can get on task. Amen? Absolutely. The book that I want to look at this morning is out of the book of Nehemiah. Not one that we go to regularly, but it's got a lot of good stuff in it. And in the book of Nehemiah, it's simple. He received a report, and in 586 B.C. was the final burning of the temple in Jerusalem and the tearing down of the city, the walls, by King Nebuchadnezzar of the Babylonians. Since that time, the temple itself began to be rebuilt in 535 B.C. It was accomplished in 516 B.C. Still quite a bit of time to rebuild the temple. But the walls around the city could not get done. Just couldn't seem to get it done. And there were three caravans of exiles that went back to Jerusalem. The first one was led by Zerubbabel. Okay? And that was in 536 B.C., and we can see that in Ezra 1 through 6. This was a 57-year gap between the time of Esther and the moving on. The temple began in 535, like I said, and on February 18th of 516, it was completed by that first group. Now, a second group led by Ezra. Ezra and Nehemiah were contemporaries. And the second group was left in 455 B.C. Okay? We can see that in Ezra 7 through 10. Now, what happened there is Ezra left with 1,500 men and their families on March of 455 B.C. and arrived in August of 455 B.C. The little group arrived safely to their destination. Well, the word came to Nehemiah, who was a cupbearer for Artaxerxes. And the word was that the walls are still in shambles. Years and years and years after the destruction. And it broke Nehemiah's heart. Nehemiah spent 4 months praying. 4 months praying about the situation and what he needs to do, what God would have him to do to be on task. That was in 446. In 445, he had the 4 months of prayer, and then in September, he went to the king. The king released him to go. And then Nehemiah, when he got there, assessed the situation and rebuilt those walls in 52 days. 52 days. And it had been 70 years since they'd been broken down. Have you ever asked yourself, what was it about Nehemiah that allowed him to get the task done? And I believe these characteristics are the same characteristics that we as believers here today need to demonstrate to be on task with what God wants us to do. And we need to take it seriously. But as I shared with you before, the Lord led me into, before we can be on task, we have to be right. We have to be right with Him, or we cannot accomplish God's work. We cannot accomplish His will. We cannot accomplish His task. It is God's way or no way. Okay? So as I thought about that, I thought about the four things that I want to share with you. The first thing that we see that Nehemiah did was he had a compelling purpose. Nehemiah had a compelling purpose. What was that purpose? It was to make a great commitment to the cause. You know what's lacking in the average doing of our Christian lives today? Commitment. Should our commitment be any less today than Nehemiah's commitment was when he went to Jerusalem to do the work God's leading him to do? It should not. Too many Christians live like Christianity is an afterthought. It's just something to take up time. It might be just something that, you know, we give to without seeming radical. Let me tell you something. Being a Christian takes commitment. And there's too many that have not committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. They want their fire insurance from hell, but they don't want to do anything else that might inconvenience them. You know what I've come to the conclusion of? Real, solid, hard commitment is all about inconvenience. It is. Inconvenience to me, but exactly what God wants to have done. He doesn't always lay things out in the most purposeful time in my life. But that's because it's His timing and not mine. That's because He chooses when He wants it done, not me. We need to be open, susceptible to receiving in our commitment to Him wherever, whenever, and however God wants it done. That's what we need to do. So the first question here is, what kind of a commitment do we have to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it everything? Sorry, if it isn't everything, it's nothing. That's what Scripture says. My Bible tells me He bought me with a price. He didn't shed a drop. He shed His whole body and blood for me and for you. He bought every part of me, every cell of me. It is His. Whose are yours? I haven't lived my whole life in that commitment. But I want the latter days to be that commitment. I want the days that I have left, however that many that may be, I want that commitment to be my commitment. Because I want a compelling purpose to live. And the world doesn't offer one. Jesus Christ has. Amen. We're sitting here because I believe that He is our compelling purpose. Now, will we follow the full commitment at our inconvenience? The second thing that I want to share with you, Nehemiah demonstrated a clear perspective. A clear perspective. And what I mean by that is he didn't let fear cloud the view of their future. I don't know how many of us know this. The greatest tool in Satan's toolbox is fear. Fear of all kinds. Fear of rejection. Fear of being made fun of. Fear of failing. Fear of not knowing enough. He plants all of these things in our minds. But let me tell you something. God doesn't call us to do something and leave us without the ability to do it. He enables us. Amen? He enables us. It's not my skills and my gifts. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. He uses those things as what few I have for His glory. But I have been afraid before. I know what it is. When I first went into the ministry, I found that as much as I was sometimes to really speak it out like it is in my heart, and in God's Word, I'd try to dampen it just a tad. Never did the Holy Spirit let me dampen it a tad or any otherwise. Because God's Word's not up for debate. It's not up for dampening. It is what it is. And I learned people can hate me or love me or dislike me or want to run over me. It's okay. It doesn't matter. God's Word and His truth is all that matters. And that was the way it was with Nehemiah. He didn't let the fear. There was some real serious stuff going on when he got there. He went investigating what it was going to take incognito to assess the situation. But you know what he wasn't? He wasn't afraid. And you want to know why? Because he knew God was on his side. Let me tell you something. God is on our side. For whatever he's calling us, he is on our side. So let's not let fear cripple us. Let's not let fear cause us to be doubters. The greatest fear today is the fear to teach God's Word as it is to be taught. It is, what's the word I'm looking for? It is sensationalized to make it look better. It is what it is, and what it is what gets us saved. Amen? It doesn't need to be sensationalized by the likes of you and me. That just gets us in trouble. Don't let fear cripple you for what God wants to do with you in the future. Because I want to tell you something right now. From the littlest one in here to the oldest one in here, God's purpose has never stopped having a plan for your life, ever. Will we receive that plan? Or will we let fear, like, well, I'm too old, I can't do that anymore. Or I'm too young, I can't do that either. Or I'm too in between, I can't do what the older ones do and I can't do what the younger ones do. I'm just not there. If you believe you're not there, then you're not there. Not because God can't put you there. You have taken yourself out of being there. Time to stop. And let Him remove the fear. You know what casts out fear, don't you? God's perfect love. That's what it says in the Epistle of John. That God's perfect love casts out fear. I love that verse. It keeps me moving. Keeps me going. That's the second thing. He had a clear perspective. The third thing is that he had a life of continual prayer. They prayed about everything to gain God's favor. He spent 4 months before he even went to the king and asked him to prepare for what was about to come his way. Do you think he doubted whether the king would let him go or not? Maybe in the flesh, but I don't believe in the spirit. Because God had called him. We can never stop praying. We need God's favor in what we're going to be doing. If we just jump out and do it, you and I jump off the wrong bridge too many times. We need a prayer life. We need a prayer life. We began this morning by praying and forgiving others who have sinned against us. Don't let that be the end of it. Don't let that be the place where you stop. That's the place where we begin. Now let's pray about what God might use us in His church to do, to be a part of, to work in. And maybe there's some in here today that don't have Jesus Christ as their Savior. Let me tell you, don't wait longer. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, why will you stay back? And why will you hold off? There's not a one of us that's going to point any fingers at you. And if you do, the Spirit will come and break those fingers off. You hear me? Because you have no right, and neither do I. Let's have active, purposeful, and prosperous prayer lives. People should never find us unprayed, because that's how we're going to be able to continue and move forward. Not only as individuals, but as a church. The fourth thing and the final thing I want to share with you. Nehemiah demonstrated a courageous persistence. And what I mean by that is they moved despite the odds. Let me share with you a few things that were against Mr. Nehemiah. Number one, I heard a professor call it this way, and he called it the hellish trio. That trio was made up of Sanballat, the governor of Samaria, of Tobiah, the Ammonite leader, and of Geshem, the Arab chief. Constantly taunting, constantly threatening, constantly trying to make his work and life miserable. Well, if it was just that trio, it'd be not too bad. But it didn't stop there. Because what else he dealt with were eight other things. He dealt with ridicule. You know what leads to ridicule? Unforgiveness. Remember that. If somebody ridicules, don't you'll care. Pray for them. Lift them up. Forgive them. Nehemiah did. He didn't let ridicule stop him. You can't do this, Nehemiah. You're such a joke. Well, 52 days later, he showed him how much of a joke he was. He had ridicule. He had wrath expressed against him in chapter 4, verse 1 and verses 6 through 9. Wrath. We understand the difference between wrath and anger. Wrath is rage. Wrath is uncontrollable. Wrath is what a person does usually when they take the life of another. They are enraged. And he had that expressed against him. The wrath of those nations. He also had discouragement. There was discouragement. He wasn't perfect. We're not perfect, and we can be discouraged. But if we pray, the Lord God can remove our discouragement and the discouragement of our fellow followers. Amen. Because I believe every one of us in here are a leader of some type of what God wants to do with us. We're all leaders. We can't demonstrate discouragement. I believe we need to demonstrate victory. Victory in Jesus. Amen? Amen? We've been given it. Let's shout it. Let's live it. Nehemiah showed that. Fear. Dealt with fear from all of these different things. Fear from the people. What are we going to do? They're going to come in and they're going to kill us at night. We're afraid. Nehemiah had a solution. I love it when he posted guards at the wall entrances that were broken down. Sword in one hand, a spear in one hand to protect as they built the wall. The enemy didn't know how to deal with that. Amen? When we come to the Lord, he's not going to know how to deal with us either. I believe that. He dealt with internal strife. Oh, yeah, those working against him. You've always got those. Those that never like what's going on. Those that never like what the leadership is doing. Those that would rather complain and grumble. Oh, wait a minute, I think I mentioned that earlier. Instead of adding to the work, they throw against the work. So he had a lot of internal strife, complaining and grumbling. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Laziness. Laziness. Laziness don't get the job done. They were all too used to 70 years of just laying back and letting somebody else try to do it. Wasn't going to happen on Nehemiah's watch, but he dealt with it. Satanic involvement and compromise by some prophets and leadership. They worshiped Baal secretly. They trusted in false gods. And I want to say this. Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." I wish I could say that everybody in church was a Christian and a believer, but I can't. Because some think they're going to get to heaven by being baptized. Some think they're going to go to heaven by joining a church denomination. Others are going to think that they're going to go to heaven because they do all kinds of works within the church. The blood of Jesus is the only way you get to heaven. No other God, no other trick, no other belief is going to get anybody there. And then finally, you had the lying prophets. We all know Ahab and Jezebel. And you know why Ahab didn't like Elijah. Because Elijah, he told it like it was. Remember Ahab whining one time? He said, "Bring me a prophet that'll tell me the truth." So they brought Elijah. He said, "I don't want to hear Elijah. He never speaks anything good to me. He never tells me and pats me on the back and says, 'You're doing a good job, fella.' He never strokes my ego or my long locks or gives me a turkey leg. He never does anything positive for my life." But you see, that's what many people want. They want a fluff piece. They want somebody that's going to make them feel good all over. Well, I'm not that person. Until I get to feeling good all over, we're all in the same boat together, amen? We're going to get the truth because the truth sets us free. That's what Scripture says. Do we have obstacles? You better believe it. I felt like I had several tasks in my days involved in churches learning about this. When I was a teenager, I helped, when we were members of Drexel, to build a new kitchen and a new fellowship hall. That was quite an experience. But I saw the obstacles. There was a lot of them, including church members. The second was when we went to West Ajo, now Tucson Baptist, Mountain Baptist. We built the church there on their new piece of property. Built Sunday school classes. It was quite a lot of work. Fortunately, I was young. I could still swing a hammer. But it was worth every moment of it because it gave you a joy to build some place people were going to come in and hear the Word of God. Then I got the real big test, and I think God was doing this other because when I got to Las Lunas as a pastor, I wasn't a pastor then. I was just a congregational member who loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Then up there, we built a 4,000-square-foot educational building from scratch. Guess who they looked to? The pastor. Guess who knew nothing? The pastor. I didn't know anything about codes. I didn't know anything about anything. Fortunately, God put certain ones around me to help me, but they always still look to the pastor for the final decision. Praise God, we got it built. And I wish that every one of you, when we built that first 100-foot wall, we built it all in one section, and the whole church was out volunteering to build this church. And everybody that was there that night, from one end to the other, we stood and we raised that full 100-foot wall. I never experienced a joy in my life like I did then. And it wasn't joy because of something I accomplished. It was something that God led us to do, opened the door so that we could bring more people to Him. But there were obstacles. And you know what the biggest obstacle has always been in every situation? Money. That's always been the problem. And I just want to quote a verse. Oh, ye of little faith. That's all I can say. You see, if God leads a church to do it, then the best thing to do is to do it. And don't worry about the incidentals. You can say, money's an incidental. It is in God's bank account. I'm continually amazed how little our faith is sometimes, my brothers and sisters. We got to pull our drawers up. We got to tighten our belts. We got to get on the stick with God. And we got to move in His direction, or we're going to miss out on the greatest blessings He desires to pour upon us that you and I can possibly imagine. So don't let obstacles set our path. Would you bow your head with me, please, for a moment? I want to ask you today, how many of you would possibly join me in saying, Lord God, I want a revival in my heart. I want a rededication of my life. I want to turn everything I have and am over to you. I really desire to do that more than anything else. And will today say, that's my prayer. That's my leap of faith right now, as I'm turning everything over to Him. And if you would do that today, you're going to trust Him. You're not going to be an obstacle in His way. You're going to be one that's marching and heading and leading the pack to the glory of our God. If you need today to have me pray for you, I want to ask you just to raise your hands if you would. Amen. 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 Praise God. Amen. Amen. Let today be a new day, my friend. Let today be a new day. Amen. Don't walk out this door in a more miserable condition than you came in. Because you will if you resist the Holy Spirit. Amen. Anyone else this morning? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before you today and we stand in your presence, Lord Jesus, I just thank you so much for the work that you do, for the word that we have, that we need not fear the enemy. The enemy needs to fear us, because we are indwelt with the power of God through the Holy Spirit, and He cannot have us. He cannot manipulate us unless we let ourselves be manipulated. We need not be fearful unless we allow ourselves to be fearful. Lord God, I pray that today that we can, to begin a new journey, make a real, bona fide, honest, serious commitment to you. One that is reflective of a true believer. Be with us now in your precious name. Amen. Would you please stand with me?